Hey, come on up here. Good job. So let's see. You guys, nice dresses. You guys are twins. So let's see. What is this?
What is this?
Five.
Five, okay. What is this right here? What is this piece of... This is my arm and this is my...
Hand.
My hand. All right. So what are some good things that we can do with a hand? There are bad things people do with a hand, hit people. What are good things that we can do with our hands?
Hug.
Very good. Hug. What else can we do with our hands?
Hug.
Hug. Yes, very good. Anything else?
One more time, say it louder. Eat.
Eat.
Eat. Good. That's a good thing. That's, you know, to a degree. It's a good thing we can do with our hands. And then we have to tell our hand when to stop eating. What else? Do you have any pets? Can we pet a doggy? Could pet a doggy, right?
I have a kitty.
You have a kitty? What can you do with your hand? Can you pet the kitty?
Yeah.
There are all kinds of good things we can do with our hands. Hug. You know, we can praise God. We can welcome people, shake hands, right? We can encourage someone, pat them on the back. So there's all kinds of things we can do with our hand that are good. So what can we do? It's a different question. What if you have a house? You have a house?
I have a house.
You do have a house. Is there something good you can do with a house?
Clean up.
Clean up. Very good. Very good. We're going to learn today that also you can dedicate your house to exalting God. You can say, you know what, this house, and you can even dedicate this house. This is kind of a house for God to live in, a house for the Holy Spirit. You can dedicate your whole body. You can dedicate your whole household to praising God. We're going to talk about that today. All right? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for these young ladies. We thank you for Grandma and Grandpa being here and Mom and Dad. We pray for their whole family. For all the kids who are missing today, we pray that you'd be with them. Maybe some are sick or traveling. God, we thank you for everyone who's here today. We pray your Bibles, if you would, please. And open with me to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30, we are told from the inscription right above verse 1 that this was a song sung at the dedication of the house of David. Psalm 30. And it reads like this. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. What was David doing with this song, and why, and how does that apply? Actually, those three questions that I just asked could be applied really to any psalm. The book of Psalms is given to us as a special blessing by God. The Psalms are very devotional. They're very practical. They're very theological, deep in theology. Why? We're already into question number two. What was David doing with this song? And why? And how does that apply? I have found that those three questions are very helpful in the study of any of the Psalms, but especially this one. So those are our outline for this morning. What was David doing with this song? And why? invited some friends and neighbors and relatives over. You know, in Russia, they always have a house dedication. You move in with a psalm. The answer is, he was dedicating his house to the lifting up of God. Dedicating his house to the lifting up of God. It says, a psalm, a song at the dedication of the house of David. Now, some say this means at the dedication of the house of the Lord, only it doesn't say that. Some say, well, that was David dedicating the temple, only the temple hadn't been built yet. Later, when it was built, David's son Solomon dedicated that house to the Lord, and we could read about that in 1 Kings 8. Some say, well, maybe this was David dedicating the land upon which the temple would be built. You know what? I'm a simple guy. I don't see any reason to believe that that it was anything other than David dedicating his house to the lifting up of the Lord. But actually, if you look at the contents of the song itself, you can see that it hardly even matters what house, whether it was David's physical cedar house or whether it was the house of God or the tabernacle, because what David is actually doing is he is dedicating himself and probably whoever lived in his house to the lifting up of God. Take a look. Verse 1, he says, I will extol you, O Lord, which literally means I will lift you up. And David doesn't mean I'm going to lift you up just today. It means I dedicate myself to lift up your holy name. He begins the song that way. He ends the song in the same way. Look at the end of the song at verse 12, the second line. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. What is he doing with this song? He is dedicating himself. You could even say this house, the house of my body. He is dedicating himself to the lifting up of God, to the lifting up of God's holy name. But he's not just devoting himself to that. In verse 4, you can see he says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. And I think most likely the scene or the setting is a gathering of the servants in David's house, of his family. Maybe he invited some friends and neighbors and relatives over. You know, in Russia, they always have a house dedication. You move into a new apartment, you're going to have a dedication of the apartment. Probably this is David talking to his family members, to those who are in his household, and he's saying, I today am committing that I'm going to lift up God here, and I call you to do the same. He is dedicating his house to the lifting up of the Lord. Why? We're already into question number 2, but we're going to be out of here quickly. Why? Why would David devote himself to the lifting up of God? Why would he call all the members of his house, you need to lift up God with me? Very simple answer. It's because the Lord had lifted him up. Look at verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, which means literally, I will keep on always lifting you up because you have lifted me up. That is a word picture for salvation. And most of the psalm is devoted to telling the story of what God had done. This psalm itself is David lifting up God, you know how? By telling his testimony. Simple way to lift up God is to tell of all that he's done in your life. Now, of course, there's the big story of what he's done in your life, but then there's the day-to-day. You get up in the morning and you say, Lord, help me through this day. And you know what you can do at the end of the day? Testify to how God answered that prayer. David here is devoting himself and his household to the lifting up of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord had saved him, but not just once. He knew every day he was living thanks to the Lord. The rest of the psalm pretty much is why David did this. So let's walk through it. I will lift you up, O Lord, because you have lifted me up. And you've not let my foes rejoice over me. Meaning, you have lifted me up out of the hand of the enemy. David had a lot of enemies. Saul and his entire household were his enemies. And David is writing this after the Lord had delivered him from them. By the way, why don't you turn back really quickly, if you can turn there quickly, to 2 Samuel. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want you to see what is most likely the setting for this. First, we'll look at 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, which says this. It says, now there was a long war between the house of Saul. Doesn't mean between his seed or household, right? It means between the household, his family members. There was a long war between Saul and his family members and the house of David. That means David and his family members. You know, like the Hatfields and McCoys, apparently. It was the Sauls and the Davids. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Why do you think that happened? Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and look at verse 9. 2 Samuel 5 and verse 9. Then David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David, and David built all around from the millow and inward. Thus David went on and became great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. That's how David won the war. That's how he was delivered from the hand of his enemies. It's because the Lord of armies, the Lord who is sovereign over all the armies of earth, that same Lord was with David. And notice verse 11. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. And you know what I think happened then? Or soon thereafter? Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Go back to Psalm 30. This is a song at the dedication of the house when David could see that the Lord had delivered him from the hands of his enemies. And he thought, I am going to devote my house to the exaltation, to the lifting up of the Lord. In this house, we're going to lift up God. Why? Because God has lifted me up. He has not let my foes rejoice over me. How exactly did that happen? Look at verse 2. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Very brief testimony. He's saying in the presence of the members of his household at the dedication of his house, he's giving testimony saying, it's God who deserves the credit. God delivered me from the hand of my enemy. God delivered me from death. God brought me through the trials up to this point. It's to God that I give praise. I'm going to lift him up from here on out. Now notice when he says at verse 3, you brought my soul up from the grave. That doesn't mean that he died and rose again, but it probably means I was near death. I was right there on the edge of death, and you lifted me up as though from the grave. And that was for a purpose. You've kept me alive. Why? So that I should not go down to the pit. What do you think? Does he mean A, that I should not go down to the pit just yet, but I know I'm going to go there? Or do you think he means B, that I should not go down to the pit ever? I think he means B. You know why? Because he ends the psalm saying, I am going to give you thanks forever. I believe that you have saved me, and you've saved me for eternity and for a purpose. This is why David's dedicating his house. He's saying, God, I know you've saved me. You've saved me forever. I dedicate myself, this house, to lifting you up. And he calls the members of his household to join in with him. Verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Join in with me. You're part of this house too if you're a saint. A saint means you're a holy one. You're saved too. You've been set apart by God to praise him. Join in me. Join in with me at the dedication of this house to the lifting up of God. Now we're going to come back to verse 5. This is almost verse-by-verse exposition. Almost. We'll come back to verse 5, though. Look at verse 6. In verses 6 to 12, David goes on to explain why it is he is dedicating his house to the lifting up of God. Look what he says. Verse 6. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Does that sound like a good thing? In this case, it's not. In this case, it's not. In my prosperity, he says, that word means literally ease. In my ease. And it might be that right after David got into this new cedar house back there in 2 Samuel 5, it could be that he thought in a moment of pride, look what I've done. Notice it's my prosperity. In my ease, when everything was going great for me, when I realized, I have been delivered from the hand of my enemies, I'll never be moved. Interestingly, David said back in Psalm 10, if you look back there, David said, this is the prideful thinking of the wicked. But it's so easy for anyone to fall into it. Look back at Psalm 10, verse 4. David says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. He's always at ease. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he laughs at them. Because why? Because he's overcome them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. I'll never be in adversity. David says, you know what? In my ease, I said exactly the same thing. And David is reflecting on a moment when he became a little prideful and thought, I've got it made. I'll never be in trouble again. You say, well, how did God respond to that? Take a look, Psalm 30. Verse 6, now in my prosperity I said, I'll never be moved. Now in verse 7 is after he's come to his senses. Lord, by your favor. And it's probably, you had made my mountain stand strong. Now I understand that it was by your favor, by your grace, by your gracious acceptance of me that I had become strong. But then I became prideful, and what did you do? You hid your face, and I was troubled. You see the flow of thought there? David's simply, he's telling his testimony. He's recalling another moment in his life where he says, you know what, in a moment of pride, I was at ease. I said, I'll never be moved. But then later I realized, oh God, it was you. You were the one behind that. And in my pride, you hid your face from me. And when I saw that you had done that, I instantly became troubled. That's what David's recalling, a moment of pride when God turned his face away. By the way, do you know that even in our lives as believers, sin turns God's face away? I remember being in Africa one time on a mission trip, and I was with this man who knew Scripture so much better than I did at the time. And he said to somebody, he said, your sin has separated you from God. Your sin has turned his face away from you that he will not hear you. And I said, hey, where did you get that? Later on, I said, where did you get that? He said, oh, that's Isaiah 59:2. I thought, man, I wrote that in the Bible that I had at the time, which still is probably somewhere on a shelf. You know, that was a Bible I was using back in 1997. And I thought, what a great verse. Your sin separates God from you and turns his face away from you so that he doesn't hear your prayers. Well, that's like what we saw back in Psalm 28. So David here in Psalm 30, he's testifying at the dedication of his house of what God had done in his life. He says, I know that's what happened. But notice what David did. When God hid his face from him and he became troubled, what did he do? Verse 8. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. And he remembers some of his prayer. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? He's crying out to God and he's recalling it now. God, I cried out to you. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. What is David doing? At the dedication of his house, he's recalling a time when he'd become prideful before God. God turned his face away. He became so troubled, he started crying out, and he's repeating the prayer that he prayed back then. But what happened? Verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Probably literally. He probably, at that moment, he began dancing. The joy of answered prayer, Zuzu's petals, like we said the other week. This is a Zuzu's petals moment. God answered my prayer. And what is David doing? He's lifting up the Lord at the dedication of his house, recalling times past when God had heard his prayer and had answered him. And he said, woohoo! And he's recalling it all to mind to the members of his household. And by his testimony, he's lifting up God. You've turned my mourning into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth. You've clothed me with gladness. Have you ever seen someone clothed in gladness? Their eyes sparkle. There's a smile on their face. There's a kind of a skip in their step. They're like, guess what? And sometimes it's God answered my prayer. He delivered me from that illness or from that enemy or from that financial trial or from that evil person or from whatever. From my sadness, my depression. David is saying, I was down, I prayed, you lifted me up, you clothed me with gladness. Why does God do that? Why does he ever let you get way down and then you cry out to him and he lifts you back up? Why does he do that? Notice, verse 12, to the end. Now this is the end God has in mind when He clothes you with gladness. To the end that my glory, that is my strength, which when David was prideful, was thinking was for himself, right? In his prosperity, I'm thinking, you know, I'm strong. Kind of like Peter, you know. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Everybody else might, but not me. Now David realizes, oh, you let me go through that, and I cried out to you, and you clothed me with gladness to the end, that now my strength, now my glory, now my energy, now my life, all that I have and all that I am, that's your glory. Now all that I have and all that I am might sing praise to you and not be silent. Do you know that if you've been saved by the Lord, then to be silent is sin? Did you know that? If you've been saved by the Lord and God says, sing, worship, testify, give praise, if you will not, you are sinning. Now, it's one, if you have a sore throat and you just can't sing, that's different. But if you won't sing, you say, I'm not singing to Him. I'm not going to testify to Him. I'm not going to praise Him. I'm not going to exalt Him. Do you know that that's sin? David says here, and he's teaching us, listen, God heard my prayer, and He answered it, and He clothed me with gladness for a purpose, and that purpose is that I would use the strength I have to exalt God. And what's he doing with this song? Exalting God at the dedication of his house, and he's calling all the members of his household to do the same thing. So he does it again at the end. Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. From here on, I'm going to give thanks to you. What is David doing with this song? He is dedicating his house to the lifting up of God. Now you can think of that from the standpoint of a house. You've got an apartment, you've got a place to live. Yes, there's the sense in which he's saying, this house, where I now live, this is going to be used to lift up God. And there are all kinds of ways that you can use your house to lift up God. But you can also think of that from the spiritual standpoint, that he's dedicating this house. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? You know that song? You don't know that song? Body is the temple? I can't sing it. It's not that I won't. Yeah. I mean, there is a tune, right? The body is the temple of the... I just can't sing it. I can't get the tune. If I had the tune, I would sing it. Does anyone know that song? See? You all won't sing it. None of us can sing it. But David is saying, listen, I'm going to use this house, my body, my strength, my glory, and I am going to exalt the Lord, and he's calling everyone else to do it. So what's he doing with this song? Dedicating his house to the lifting up of the Lord. Why is he doing it? Because the Lord had lifted him up and probably time and time and time again. So how does that apply? What is God showing us? What is God teaching us? And you know what? This answer that I'm going to give you is probably in most of the Psalms. And you could use these three questions to study almost any Psalm. What is David doing with the Psalm? Well, he's doing something, and you want to search the Psalm to find out. Why is he doing that? Search the Psalm to find out that answer. But why or how does it apply? And the answer is, with this song, he is teaching us about the Lord. And it applies in that we should do the same as David is doing. With this Psalm, he is teaching us a truth. Literally, he's teaching us the gospel, and it's located or worded in verse 5. Verse 5 is the gospel. Worded in Old Testament terms, but this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what it says, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. Stop there. Whose anger? The Lord's. His anger at what? At you. Yeah, but at what specifically? What does God get angry at? What does he hate? Sin. His anger at you on account of your sin, how long does it last? Well, it says is but for a moment. Well, now this is written by a believer who experienced the anger of God against him for his sin. How long does his anger last? Only as long as you continue in your sin. That's how long it lasts. only as long as you continue in your sin. And you know what? If you're a believer and you look back and you think about how long God was angry with you, it's like, oh, that wasn't even for a moment. Even if it was for 50 years that you were a sinner. You know why? Because compare that to His favor. Look what He says. His anger is but for a moment in the scope of things, but His favor. Oh, you know what that word means? It literally means His favorable acceptance of the sinner who has called upon Him. That's what it means. His favorable acceptance of you as His own. And this, by the way, is the gospel. Turn for a moment. Stop here for a moment. We'll come back to this. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. When Jesus Christ came to His hometown at the beginning of His ministry, Christ came into the synagogue. You remember the story. He came into Nazareth where He's been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I'm in Luke 4:16. He stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He'd opened the book, He found the place where this was written. Now He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 61. And in Luke 4:18-19, Jesus tells the gospel in Old Testament terms, and look what He says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim... Now in my Bible it says the acceptable year of the Lord. That's not really what it says. The year of the Lord's favorable acceptance. The period of time during which the Lord, in His grace and mercy, is going to accept favorably everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Christ came to proclaim the period of time when even Gentiles, if they trust in Christ, the God of heaven, in spite of all of our previous sin, will favorably accept you as His own. Now go back to Psalm 30 and verse 5, and here's the gospel in Old Testament terms. For His anger at you on account of your sin is but for a moment, but His favorable acceptance of you when you humble yourself before Him and turn to Him like David did, how long does that last? Life. And if your Bible says for a lifetime, cross it out and write life. Because it doesn't just last until you're dead. It's not just for a lifetime. It's not like, well, it lasts for a lifetime, but then you're dead. No. It lasts for life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 30 verse 5 is the gospel in very condensed form. But in the scope of David's testimony, he's saying, listen, God's, I know this by experience. His anger at the sinner for his sin or her sin, that is but for a moment. That is short-lived. It only lasts as long as the sinner continues in sin. But His favorable acceptance of the sinner who trusts in Him, that's forever. Weeping may endure for a night. This is not talking about the weeping that you have in some trial. This is talking about the weeping over your sin when you realize you've offended a holy God. It's like David's weeping when he realized he'd become prideful and the Lord had turned His face away. You know, once you're a child of God, listen, if you sin against Him and you realize you've sinned, that weeping, that's short-lived. You know why? This weeping here represents calling on the Lord like David did and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. And what happens? Joy comes in the morning. This is the life of a believer. The first part of verse 5 is really the gospel. And the second half of verse 5 is the life of a believer. What happens when you fall in sin? Well, weeping lasts for a night. But you know what? Joy comes in the morning. He hears the prayers of His children. That is a beautiful life. And David is giving that as the foundation for saints to lift up the Lord for the rest of your life. Verse 4, he says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, you who know by experience what I'm talking about, you who have turned from your sin and trusted in Him, sing His praises. Give thanks, and it's probably give thanks in remembrance of His holy name. Not just whenever you happen to remember what He's like, but as a remembrance of who He is and what He's done in your life. Give thanks to Him because you know, as I do, His anger, how long did that last? Oh, that's in a rearview mirror. That was but for a moment. But His favorable acceptance of me, that's forever. When I stumble into sin, all that weeping, that doesn't last long. Yeah, I fall into things and I sin or, and I weep for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is the Christian life. And He's saying, on that basis, you ought, like me, to dedicate your house. Let me suggest to you two very specific ways that you might apply this psalm. Three, actually. One is to dedicate your house, as in wherever you live. Some of you have just moved into a new house. I would encourage you, dedicate that house is going to be used for the lifting up of the Lord. Why? Because He's lifted you up. If you're a Christian and He's lifted you up, then lift Him up in your house. Second specific application. I wish I could sing it to you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a song that goes like that. I'll have to YouTube that later and get the tune. Use this house, your body, wherever you go, wherever you live, whatever you do. Devote yourself to lifting up the Lord. How do you do that? By singing, by praising, by telling of His wonderful works, by testifying, by preaching the gospel, by serving. Use this house, the house of your body, to lift up the Lord for the rest of your life. Why? Because He's lifted you up. Let me give you a third application. And that is, use this for teaching your children, your families. Because part of what David is, he's not just committing himself. He's saying, if you're in my house, we're going to lift up God here. Right? If you have children, grandchildren, teach them. This house is for lifting up God. If you have to correct them, hey, we don't do that here. We don't steal toys. We don't hit. We don't curse. We don't lie. Why not? Because this house is for the lifting up of the Lord. You know why? And now I just go into your... Because He's lifted me up. And tell Him your testimony. Use this for the gospel. Use this for evangelism. What if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord? Well, notice verse 5. It says, His anger is but for a moment. Unless. You know, His anger is but for a moment if you turn from your sin and submit to Him. But that moment turns into an eternity if you never do that. His anger will be for life. Romans 1 talks about the wrath of God. That's the beginning of the gospel, that the wrath of God is being poured out upon man because of their unrighteousness and their ungodliness. In chapter 2 of Romans talks about how one day He's going to judge according to truth because He knows everything you've done and without partiality because it doesn't matter who you are. And in chapter 3 He says that's the way it's going to end unless you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, He will justify you. If you're here this morning without the Lord, I say this time and again, don't leave without Him. Don't go out the back doors without Christ. His anger is but for a moment, but His favor, if you will trust in Christ today, you will be favorably received by Him. He'll forgive you of all of your sins. He'll pour out His Spirit upon you, and you too will be able to say, His favor is for life. Listen, that's the promise of the gospel. His grace, His acceptance of you is for eternity. And so I pray if you, and I beg you, I plead with you, if you're here this morning and you're without the Lord, be reconciled to God today. And know the joy that David had when he says, "You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth and you've clothed me with gladness." Do that today. If you're without Christ today, turn to Him today. Humble yourself before Him. Cry out to Him for mercy. He will turn your sadness to gladness. And you'll spend the rest of your life with the rest of us lifting Him up. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for this psalm, which reminds us of the gospel, which encourages us by the example of David to lift You up because You've lifted us up. We thank You for this great book of Psalms and what we're learning through it. God, we do pray, not just that our own homes, but that this house, New Life Bible Church, this house of worship, we pray that this house would be dedicated to lifting You up because we who come here have been lifted up by You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.